check and see if this thing's recording here. There we go. I got all that. So, praise the Lord. John chapter 10, and beginning with verse 6, it's here the Bible's still turning, but this goes along with what Brother Frankie was saying a little bit. You know, he's coming again, but I want to look at what the Bible says about Jesus. And he says several places that I am come. And I'd like to look at the reason why he's come. And you know, sometimes we overlook this in our own life. But verse 6 said, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again." He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." And he repeats again, he says, "I am the door." And he says, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." He said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And he says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good sheep," or good shepherd. I'll get it here in a minute. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." You know, I want to look here at some of the reasons, and you may be seated, that Jesus came to this world. You know, as I'm looking at these verses, he said, "I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, that's a good reason to think about why the Lord came. And you know, most folks, they don't really realize what living is until they come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, everybody seems to think it's in the pleasures and the things of this world. But you know, the devil is always out there, isn't he? He's there to try to get us at every turn and to tear us down. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus said. But you know, first he says, "I am the door." And he repeats it twice. "I am the door." And a door is something for entrance. And that's what he says. He says, "By me." He said, "If any man enter in." You know, there's that possibility, and there's that opportunity for anyone that wants to enter into salvation by Jesus Christ. And Jesus is still the only way. He said, "If we enter in by him," he said, "that he shall be saved." You know, I think about some of the reasons why Jesus comes. And one of the biggest reasons, he came to rescue you and me from sin. Because we were dying and lost in sin. But he said, "If we enter in by him, we'll be saved." And then he says we can go in and out. You know, we have liberty in the Lord when we get saved. The Bible said, you know, he set us free, and we've got liberty to serve him. We've got liberty from all the bondage of sin that we were once under. And he said we can find pastor in Jesus. But he said the thief cometh not. You know, we need to realize also why the devil has come. He said the thief cometh not but for to steal. You know, he wants to take something from you that doesn't belong to him. The devil wants to steal our families. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our peace. He wants to steal everything that God has ever given us. But we know we ought to protect it, and we ought to stand guard over this life that the Lord gives us. And we ought to be aware of what the devil's trying to do in our life. He said he's not only come to steal, but he's come to kill. You know, the word kill means to murder. He wants to take us. He'd like to snuff out our life and our spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, we need to look at him and say, devil, I've got eternal life in Jesus, and you're not going to take it from me. Jesus gave me this eternal life, and I'm not going to let you kill one part of my life. But he said he's come to destroy. You know, he'd like to destroy all that the Lord has built up in your life, and all that you have built up in Jesus throughout the time that you've been serving him. So, you know, we can see that the devil has come to do no good whatsoever. He paints a pretty picture, and he tries to make people think that he's come to do them good. But the devil has come to do nothing but harm to you and me. But you know, Jesus says, he said, I am come. Aren't you glad that Jesus has come tonight? Aren't you glad that he's come to you in your life, and he is a part of your life tonight? He said, I've come that they might have life. You know, first of all, that we can have life. We have eternal life in Jesus. But you know, it doesn't stop there. Some people get saved, and that's as far as they go in the Lord. You know, there's so much more that God has for you and me. You know, the church ought to be that vehicle that we can find Jesus through, and it ought to be where we serve the Lord and where we work from. It ought to be the base of our operation, because it belongs to him. But he said, when you get saved and you enter in and you get this life, he said, I've got something far better than just eternal life. You know, there is abundant life as well. He wants to add the blessings in your life every day as you're going through this life. You know, we ought to enjoy what God does for you and me. We're serving the good shepherd. We're serving the one that laid down his life for you and me. And he goes on to say that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, he makes a sacrifice. Not only did he make the sacrifice on Calvary, but the Lord still is given to us every day that we wake up and crawl out of bed. God has something new and a new blessing for each and every one of us. And you know, we ought to reach out and take it. We ought to say, Lord, you've come to me and you brought me forgiveness. You brought me salvation. You brought me eternal life. And Lord, why I'm here upon this earth and why I can breathe and serve you, I'm going to enjoy the eternal and the abundant life that Jesus has given me. You know, we ought to learn to enjoy the blessings of God. We ought to learn to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us every day of our life, and know that he is with us, that the good shepherd never leaves us, and he is always there. You know, we might be on the mountain as our brothers sing about, but I'll guarantee you that every one of us is going to go to the deepest valleys in this life, and we're going to go to the shadows of the valley of death, and we're going to experience some heartaches. But in the middle of all of that, Jesus said we can still have this abundant life, because he has come to give us this life. He is there to bless us every day and every step of the way. And you know, we ought to enjoy that. We ought to enter in, as he said, into the presence of the Lord. He said, I'm the door. You know, enter into his blessings. We ought to walk up to him and say, Lord, I know that you are the entrance into the blessings of another day. Praise God that you can fill my day with blessings. You can fill my day with joy, with peace. Hallelujah. And I can enjoy this salvation. Praise God, even when I don't feel good in this body, I can still enjoy the fact, praise God, that you fill my day
today with your blessings and with your presence. You know, His presence ought to be enough for every one of us. Hallelujah. To say, Lord, I know what this abundant life is all about. You see, the devil wants to steal that promise from you. He wants to destroy the good things of God in your life, and he wants to kill all the enjoyment of this old time salvation. But we ought to say, oh no, hallelujah, you've come into my life, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You see, he said, I am come. Praise God, he has come. I can't give you enjoyment that the Lord can give. I could never give you the pleasures that we find in the Lord. This world could never give you and me the pleasures that God gives us. Praise God, it can never give us peace. Hallelujah. This world is troubled and has no peace. But those that realize that Jesus is still the way and he's come to you can have the peace of the Prince of Peace tonight. You know, we ought to be enjoying that tonight. Praise God. You know, the Bible tells us, and Jesus says this, that Jesus came from the Father. You know, he didn't come from down the street somewhere. He might have been born in Bethlehem and born in that little stable and laid in that manger, but that's not where he come from tonight. That's just a stop on his journey to Calvary. The Bible says, and this is what he said, for I came down from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. He said, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. You know, I thought that Jesus is saying here, I've come to fulfill the heavenly Father's will. And he said, this is the Father's will which hath sent me. You know, Jesus knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. He knew why he was here. We ought to know where we've come from. You know, we've come from a life of sin. And we've come that when Jesus came to our life, he changed us by the will of the Father in our life. Hallelujah. We ought to know where we are tonight and where we stand in God tonight. And we should know tonight where it is that we are headed. We might be stopping here tonight by the church for a little time in our life, but this is not the end of the journey. Praise God, this world is not where we're headed. We're headed to heaven tonight. We are God's children tonight. But Jesus said, I've come from heaven. Praise God, he's in heaven today. And praise God, this is where God's will is for you and me to be one of these days. Hallelujah. Listen, he said, I, and this is the Father's will which has sent me. You see, he says, he sent me. And this is God's will. He said, I know what God wants. He said that of all that which he had given me, I should lose nothing. Oh, he said, I'm not going to lose nothing. He said, this is the Father's will. Did you know that God said in his word that it's not his will that any perish? But listen what Jesus says. He said, but should raise it up again at the last day. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I don't know which one of us will be next, maybe to be laid in the grave. But when we close our eyes in death as a Christian, nothing is lost, but all is gained. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to raise them up at the last day. He said, this is the Father's will. Let me tell you, there is hope in Jesus tonight, even in the saddest and darkest of the hours that this life has to offer. There is hope in Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. He said, and this is the will of him that sent me. Listen, he said that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Oh, he said, I will raise him up at the last day. You know, he said, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son. You know, we don't see him with these physical eyes, but all we ought to look upon him with the eyes of faith tonight. We ought to see Jesus, and we ought to realize that this wonderful Savior has come come not just to the world, but He's come to our lives. He's come, praise God, as that good shepherd. He's come to give us life that we didn't have before. So many Christians walk around with a sad face. My Lord, I know there's a time to be sad, and there's a time to weep and a time to cry, but there's a time that we ought to rejoice in all that God is doing and has done for each of us tonight. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. You know, he said, no man's ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. And he says, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. You know, as I looked at that scripture, I was reminded of an old song. And I don't know the words of it, but you know, he came down because we couldn't go up. And I thought, you know, that Jesus came down because we could not go up to heaven. He came down to us, and he came down for us. He came down with the purpose in mind. Oh, you know, I'm going to get ahead here, but the Bible said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, you and I were lost in sin, and there was no way that we could reach up to Him, but God sent His Son, hallelujah, down to touch our lives and to reach us where we were in sin and on our way to hell. We are serving a wonderful Savior tonight. Jesus cried, and He said in one place, as He's in the temple, as He taught, saying, you both know Me, and you know whence I am. And He says, I am not come of Myself. You know, Jesus didn't come to fulfill any desire in His life. He came at the will of the Father. He said, I've not come of Myself, but He that sent Me is true, whom you know not. Jesus plainly knew what His mission was to this world. You know, we ought to know what it is that God wants of us. I hear different ones say, oh, pray that the Lord's will be done in my life. Let me tell you what God's will is. It's that we live for Him every day and let God bring His will to pass in our life. That's all we need to do. You know, if we make it through each and every day that God gives us, we are doing pretty good. You know, that's all that we can expect God to do in our life, is just to bless us from day to day and make it through the day. Serve God, let the sun set upon that day, knowing that you've done your best to please the Lord and do all that you can. Jesus came to help us to fulfill that. His job and His mission was not to destroy men or the law. You know, there's a lot of people, and you know, there are some wicked people in this world and some things that are happening, but there's a lot of church people that have no compassion for sinner people at all. You know, when we stood over in the nursing home the other night, there was just a different type of spirit there. And you know, you could just feel the Lord in the presence of the Lord. And you know, I appreciate those that go and help. You know, I looked at one man as I was standing there and giving the scriptures out, and it was so much different. And this man sat back there, and later he told me he'd have been there before, but I don't remember seeing him there. But he looked like maybe a businessman or somebody that you know, that was a little different and come from a different background. As I was looking and giving the Word of God, things began to go through my mind as I looked at him. He looked as if he's looking a little critical and maybe with a little doubt in his mind. But you know, when I went to him, it was all different. He said, you know, he's really enjoyed the service. He enjoyed us having church there. Praise God. You see, it was not us, but it was Jesus that had come into that service. It was the Spirit of the Lord that was touching hearts and souls. You see, He's come even for folks like that, that it looks like they have no hope, and it looks like maybe they're nearing the end of their life. But even in a situation like that, there is abundant life. Hallelujah. When people receive Jesus in their hearts and lives. But some folks look down on people, and some churches look down on individuals and want to destroy them. You know, Peter and John and the disciples one day were told to go into Samaria. And as they went, the people, the Samaritans, refused to have Jesus come there. And you know, Peter and John, they went to the Lord and they said, "Lord, would you just that we call fire down from heaven and destroy them?" You know what Jesus said? You know, sometimes our attitude towards sinners, we forget that we were once in that situation. And I'm so glad the night that I sat in church that the preacher and those that were there didn't come to me and said, I seen you times going up and down the street in front of the church drinking and carrying on. I'm so glad that they didn't just shove me out of the church that night. But Jesus looked at Peter and John, or John and James, let me get it right. And he turned and rebuked them. And said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." And he reminds them this. He said, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but he said he's come to save them." You know, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, sometimes we get angry and we get upset with those that do things, and maybe even our own families. But let's stop when we get that way and remember what we used to do at one time in our life and where God had brought us from. And you know, we'd like to just, you know, wouldn't you like to just pounce on your children sometimes and on your grandchildren and just say, "Oh, I'm going to shake you to pieces because you won't do what you need to do." Let God touch their hearts. Let Jesus use you. And let's get rid of that spirit that James and John had. He said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." He said, "But the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You know, I thought, you know, it's bad enough that the devil is already out doing what he can to destroy all that he can. You know, the devil's doing a pretty good job of that, and I don't give him credit. But we can look around and we can see. But we ought to say, "Jesus, you've come into my life. You brought abundant life to me. You brought forgiveness to me. You brought a joy and a peace that I didn't know and didn't have when I was out in sin. You changed my whole life when I was doing those very same things. And Lord, I want you to take me now. And I want you to use me. Lord, take me and let me be the instrument. Lord, if you want to come to somebody's life through me, then take me and use me. Hallelujah. And let me reach some soul for you." Hallelujah. Those that are lost and dying and going to hell. His mission came was not to destroy him. God sent his Son, Jesus said. John says, and he says, he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he said, "But that the world through him might be saved." He said, I've not been sent into this world to destroy men's lives. I've not come to condemn men to hell. There'll be a time when he'll judge those sinners that reject him. But when he came the first time, he came to seek and to save and to search out for men and women, for the souls of men and women. You know, as I read that verse of scripture, I was reminded of the woman that was taken in adultery that they brought to Jesus. And you know, they were so cruel and so hard and so mean. And with that woman, and she's embarrassed and shamed by what she had done. And they threw her down at Jesus' feet. And they said, "Now Jesus, Moses said in the law that such as does these things ought to be stoned." And they said, "But what do you say?" And you know, Jesus began to write in the sand with his finger. And all of those that stood were convicted, and they walked away not saying a word. And Jesus raised his head up, and the woman and Jesus were there alone. And Jesus looked at that woman. He said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" And you know, as he looked at her and he said this, she said, "Lord, I have none." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee." He said, "Go and sin no more." You know, we need to have compassion on those that are sinning tonight. Somehow we need to, put ourselves in the place of Jesus. We're His servants and we're to imitate Him in our life. And we need to say, Lord, help me to love as You loved. Help me to see this world as You saw this world. To look upon those that are doing the things so wicked that You came and to save them from. Jesus can make the difference. He came into this world to save that which was lost. He came to give abundant life. You see, some of those very same people that sometimes we look and I know there's some wicked and bad things are going on. I don't say we approve what people are doing. But my God, we got to look past and see a soul that's going to die and go to hell. And do like Jesus did. You know, he knew that He didn't approve what that woman did. He didn't approve of the adultery. But you know, He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Don't do it anymore, He's saying. He said, you know, you've been forgiven. Just get up and live your life the way you're supposed to. The Bible says it, you know, in Matthew 5 and 17 about the law. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law. He said, I've not come to destroy the law. Some people say, well, He's come to just shove it all out and destroy it. No, He come to fulfill the law. You know, but He came to search for the souls of lost men. You know, I begin to wonder and think, you know, when is the last time that we went searching for souls? You know, you find Jesus going looking for Philip and Nathaniel and different ones. He's going to seek these. The man that He healed there at the pool of Bethesda, he went to find him after that they'd cast him out of the synagogue and the temple. He went to find him and to search these out. You know, if we're going to see souls saved, it might be one thing that we need to pray. But my Lord, we need to go into the world, to the highways and to the hedges. And He said to compel them to come in. Jesus left heaven to come to the earth. We ought to be able to leave our comfort to go to the world, to the souls that are lost, and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know, there's a time, let me read you something here. As I read the scripture, quoted the scripture, He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know, in Luke 19, the story's told of Zacchaeus, a man that nobody cared about because he no doubt had beat many of them out of money and swindled many of them out of money. But you know, Jesus knew that that man needed to be saved. And you know, if He could turn a swindler around and change the life of a person that everybody knew that was doing things that were underhanded, my, what a witness and a testimony it would be that everybody could see this man's life changed. Just think, if you win maybe one that would be an alcoholic or a drug addict and you could help to change their lives, just think of what a testimony that would be to all of that man's friends and all of his family and acquaintance. And old Zacchaeus, you know, he was one that nobody liked. And as I begin to read this, I thought, here we find Jesus coming to one individual man named Zacchaeus. As I looked at that, I thought we could just as well write our own names in this verse. Because you see, Jesus not only came to the world, but He came to us one day. You know, in the Bible, you know, I thought Jesus cares and He's come seeking all souls. Everybody is precious in the sight of Jesus. Every soul ought to be precious in the sight of the church. And you know, when it goes on to say, and when He came to the place. You know, I thought about Jesus coming from heaven. He said, I've come from my Father. But you know, here we find Him coming to where Zacchaeus is, and the Bible said He came to the place. You know, He came to the place where Zacchaeus was. Remember, the Bible said He couldn't see, so He ran ahead and he climbed up into that sycamore tree. But you know, Jesus came to that place. Can you remember or maybe recall tonight the time that Jesus came to the place where you were at? You know, it may be not, maybe it wasn't at an altar in the church. Maybe it was at home or some other place that God sent somebody your way and Jesus came to you through that person, through that individual, through that testimony, and He came to where Zacchaeus was. All the way from heaven, all the way from the throne room of God, to go down there one day and walk by where Zacchaeus was. Isn't that amazing that God would do this? You know, and the Son of God would do this. And He walked to that place. And when He got to that place, He did something that all the other religious people wouldn't do. They hated Zacchaeus. You know, we don't like tax collectors, do we? They want to take more of your money. You know, they're going to take it anyhow. So, we might as well be content with what we have and go on and serve God if they take every penny we got. Don't you worry, God will take care of you and me. Hallelujah. He'll come to the place where you're at in your time of need. He came to that place. And when He got there, Jesus looked up. You know, he looked upon this man that everybody else was shoving away. Get away, Zacchaeus. We don't want you here. We don't like you. We don't need you. Jesus don't want to be bothered with you. But Jesus looked up to where he was at. And when he looked up, the Bible said, you know, he saw him. You know, he took time not just to look up and glance, but he took time to see that man that was in need. And he saw him there, and then the Bible says, and he said unto him. You know where other folks wouldn't talk to this man? Jesus took time to come from heaven to have a conversation with this man, and to call this sinner to salvation. You know, that's what God does with you and me. That's what He done in our life. You know, He called you and me at one day, and you know, He took time to come right where He was at. Paul puts it this way. And Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. He said that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You know, he said, of whom I am chief. You know, his first mission, you know, he came to bless and give abundant life. But the first thing he came to do was rescue us from sin. You know, Paul said he's come to save sinners, and he said, I'm the chief of all the sinners. And this Savior came to me. He would tell the story many times over and over. How that on the road to Damascus, here this hateful man going to destroy the church and persecute the church. Here he's going down the road thinking he's going up there and accomplish something in the name of religion. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the road to Damascus, on the way to Damascus, Jesus comes to Paul. Hallelujah. And oh, he comes to a man that's making havoc of the church and causing so much problems with the church. And he stops the problem that the church was having right there by coming to one man. Let me tell you, Jesus can do the very same thing today. Hallelujah. We just need to get the vision of Jesus, don't we? We need to see Him as the one that's come, praise God, to seek and to save. And you know, this is the same mission the church has today, or should have. And you know, the Bible goes on to say that there's another time that He went down to Samaria. You know, even though those Samaritans, you know, didn't like Him. You know, they didn't like the Jews. And He must needs go through Samaria, the Bible says. And He gets down there and He's sitting on Jacob's well. And here's the Savior sitting there. And in His physical body, He was weary, the Bible says. So here He sits down on the edge of that well somewhere along there. And He's sitting there. Here comes a woman of Samaria. And this is another wicked woman that had five husbands and living a bad life. And Jesus takes time to talk to her. You see, sometimes we look at those and we say, well, you know, some of them are hard to look at. They got all these things on them, and pins and needles and everything else. And you might be maybe look at their arms and see the marks where they've been putting the drugs in. But my Lord, somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. And this is what Jesus did. He sat down. Even though he was tired. Even though he was weary. You know, we get so tired in these bodies that we use excuse many times. Well, I'm really too tired to do anything for God. You know, we need to get over that, and we need to put the effort forth and say souls are worth more than me just giving up on them. It could be our family. Wouldn't it be good if somebody, even though they're tired, would take time to visit your family or my family? And tell them about Jesus. Or, you know, we say, well, maybe we can't. Well, we can pick the phone up. Oh, but my fingers are so tired, I can't even let them do the walking anymore. But, you know, Jesus took time. And it paid off. He won that woman to the Lord. She went back to the men of the city. And you know, many believe because Jesus took time to go her way. You know, we need to take time to go out of our way sometimes. He came to call sinners to repentance. You know, that's where abundant life begins. And the Bible says, and when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And you know, I thought, while many turned their backs on sinners, he was there for them. You know, he was there to help them. And Jesus, when he heard it, he said unto them, he said, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. Listen what he says he came for. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, we were all in that category at one time in our life. And one day, Jesus called us. I don't know how he called you, and I know how he called me. But you know, one day Jesus called us. And he calls the same way that he always has. You know, listen, the Bible said, and after that John was put in prison, Jesus came. You know, here he comes again. On his mission, and the Bible said he comes into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He didn't come preaching about everything, the events that were happening all around him. You know, I mentioned this morning that sometimes we are so sidetracked with everything that's happening in our world that we forget that we are placed here to proclaim the gospel message. The gospel is good news. If all we dwell on is the bad news, and we dwell on the bad things, and we're putting people under a cloud of gloom, we ought to tell them there's hope in Jesus. There's something good about this gospel. There's something good about forgiveness. There's something good about salvation. There's something good about being saved. And I'm glad to be saved and serve Him. Let this world know that serving Jesus is a good thing. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I go through. Well, we all go through things, but there ought to be enough salvation in our soul that we can enjoy it and put a smile on every once in a while and say, I'm serving a wonderful Savior. I'm serving a wonderful God. Jesus is good to me. And this is what it says. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus, this gospel message started with, repent ye. And believe the gospel. As I looked at that, you know, I thought Jesus called by preaching the gospel then, and he's still calling by the same gospel message today. He's just using us today with it. And we need to get the gospel in our hearts, the good news of salvation. You know, aren't you glad, Brother Gary, aren't you glad you're not hooked on those old videos and all those records? And you know, I'm glad I'm not hooked on the drinking and those things and those bad things that we were once hooked on. I thank God. You know, that's something good that we ought to be happy about. I don't have to turn a bottle up to get happy. Oh, hallelujah. All I got to do is get in His presence and think about the goodness of the Lord. That there's something good in this old time salvation, in this gospel message of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. You know, and we ought to let this world know that I'm a happy Christian. We ought to be a happy Christian. And you know, it goes on to say, and he said unto them, talking about preaching the gospel, he said, let us go to the next towns. He said, that I might preach there also. Now listen to what he says. For therefore came I forth. He said, this is one of the reasons I've come, praise God, to tell them there's some good news. That you might be having problems and sin might be dragging you down, but I've got an answer. If you'll repent and believe the gospel, that you'll find something better than what this world has to offer. Hallelujah. He came to solve our sin problem. I'm going to hurry here. You know, John said, and ye know that he was manifested, or he came into this world to take away our sins. Aren't you glad that when you knelt down and you said, Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? I'm sorry and I confess my sins and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Aren't you glad that, hallelujah, he took the blood, hallelujah, and washed away our sins. He took them away and they're not there anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. Amen. Because the penalty of sin is death. And with sin in our life, we're not going to heaven. Amen. This is what Peter says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed or purchased with corruptible things as silver and gold. You can have all the money in your pocket. You can have gold coins and you can have big bank accounts. You can have it on Wall Street and everywhere else, but it'll not buy you one square inch of heaven tonight. It'll not gain you one bit of forgiveness tonight. But he says it's not by these things that you've been redeemed from your vain conversation. But he said it's with the precious blood of Christ. It's still the blood of Jesus tonight. You know, that's a good message tonight. People don't want to hear that. But you know, somehow we ought to get some off to the side. Don't try to stand in front of a bunch of people and show everything that we know. Every once in a while, we ought to pull them off to the side. We ought to say, come here, buddy. I got something I want to tell you. Come on over here. Let me tell you something. Get you away from your friends. And let me get you alone. Let me tell you that Jesus loves you, that he died for you. Hallelujah. And that he wants to save your soul and give you something to live for. Praise God. You see, it's just a simple message tonight. It's not something complicated. Thank you, brother. It's something very simple tonight. And you know, if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? You know, if we don't give them the message, then the devil's going to come along and he's going to steal from them. He's going to lie to them. He's going to destroy them. He's going to do his best to kill them and take their soul to hell. But we ought to say, no, devil, if I can help it, praise God, I'm going to do what I can to turn them around. Hallelujah. You see, so many are dying today. You read it in the paper. You know, just the other week, this young school teacher going down the road, hit a tree with her car and going out into eternity. I don't know if she's saved or not. You know, it doesn't matter. These young people that were in Fort Hood, you know, I heard on the news where one was just 22 years old and married just for 2 months. And then the man takes the gun and blows his head off and sends him out into eternity. You see, it doesn't matter how old we are. People need to be saved. Let's just hope that he was saved. Hope that that young lady was saved. I don't know. But if nobody told them about Jesus, and the only thing we can concentrate on is the problems we're having in our life. You know, Jesus is still the one we need to lift up. Jesus said, I'm the door. You know, I'm not the door. You're not the door. But we can sure lead them to the door. You know, if this place was catching on fire back there and the lights would go out, we'd do our best to lead everybody we could open this door and show them this is the way out of here. You know, that's all we ought to do with these folks that are dying in sin. Say, Jesus is the way out. He's the way to heaven. You know, he came down from heaven for you and for me. Peter said about the blood. Praise God. You know, he goes on to say, who was buried before, ordained before the foundation of the world. And he but was manifest, or he came in these last days, and he said, for you. Aren't you glad he came for you and for me? I'm glad that he came. He came with that clear objective in his mind. He knew why he came. You know, as Christians, we ought to know why we're saved tonight. We're not saved to enjoy every little pleasure in this life. You know, we think everything ought to be good, but you know, we're not saved just to, you know, to say, Lord, you know, would you bless me and help me and make everything good and make everything better? It's not always going to be that way. But Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to. You know, we want him, Lord, would you minister to me? Would you make everything nice and smooth in my life? It ain't going to be that way. You know, we're going to have problems, but he'll help you with those problems. But he said he's not come to be ministered to. But he said he's come to minister. He said, I've come to serve. You know, that's why we're here. The disciples were having a problem. Who's the greatest? And Jesus would speak to them and said, you know, even the Son of Man's not come to be ministered to, but I've come to minister. I've come to serve. You know, minister don't mean we stand up here and preachers all the time. That's not what that means. It means we serve. We have to live by example, and we need to serve by example. But he said, I've come to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. You know, are we willing to give our life for the cause of the gospel? Are we willing to sacrifice as he did? He said, that's what I've come for. You know, I'm not going to get through all of this tonight. Let me just quickly go. He came to touch the hearts and lives of all who are willing to have his touch. Aren't you glad? How many's ever been touched by the Lord when you was willing to let him touch you? And Jesus was going through a place, I believe it's called Nain one time. And he happened to walk upon a funeral procession. And I don't believe it just was something that was happened just as coincidence. I believe he knew it was going on there. And he came to a funeral procession where a widow woman had her only son. He was her only means of support. He was her only son, and he had died. And you know, Jesus, the Bible said, and he came. You know, he comes to us in the darkest times of our life. He comes when things are going wrong. He didn't just come. You know, that's a part of abundant life. That when things are falling apart and our world seems to be crushing in, that Jesus will come to us at times like that as well. And he came to this funeral procession, and the Bible said he came and touched the bier, if I'm pronouncing that right, or the casket. And they that bare him stood still. You know, those men that were carrying, those pallbearers, they stood still in that funeral procession when Jesus reached out and touched it. Can you see him coming to that procession? That woman weeping and those standing around weeping. You know, I don't understand funerals anymore. I remember as a young man going to funerals and, you know, about Courtney's size. I remember seeing people sitting around weeping and crying and sad because now they stand around and joke and talk about everything else. No respect for the dead. But you know, this possession, as it's going down there, they're all weeping and crying, and Jesus walks up and he comes on the scene. And when he goes over and he touches that casket, this is what he does. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now, I'm not going to say that this will happen in your situation, but it could if Jesus chose to do it. But you know, one day he's going to speak and all that are in the grave are going to come forth anyhow. But he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Now, when Jesus came, it was sad. But when he left, the whole situation had changed. And said he delivered him to his mother. Can you see him taking that young man? Can you see the eyes popping in the heads and the looks of surprise and amazement as that young man sets up and Jesus walks him over and says, now here, mother,
here's your son. And all of a sudden the weeping stops and the rejoicing begins. You know, when Jesus comes to our life, to our homes, to our families, He can make the difference in every situation, and He will if we'll allow Him to. You know, those pallbearers and that mother could have looked at Jesus, and you know, when I believe it was Jairus' daughter, when Jesus went in, they laughed Him to scorn, and He put them out. Some people don't believe what God can do. And He raised that young daughter up, brought her back to life, 12 years old, and brought her back to life. You see, the Lord can change the situation. But we've got to invite Him and let Him be a part. That mother could have said, well, listen, I don't believe this is going to happen. Keep on going. Don't bother us. We're having a formal procession here. Let us alone. And nothing would have ever happened. But Jesus came. And I believe they were expecting something to happen. Do you expect the Lord to do something in your life? Praise God. Jesus knew His mission and He fulfilled it completely. You know, He said in one place, He said, now is My soul troubled. But what shall I say? And what shall I say? He asked that question. He said, Father, save Me from this hour. But this is what Jesus said. He said, for this cause came I unto this hour. You see, He fulfilled His mission all the way, every step of the way. And wherever He would come on the scene, there was a change made. He said, I'm come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth in Me should not abide in darkness. But He said, and if any man hear My words, and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He'll be judged soon enough. He'll sit on the throne judging soon enough. But He came to save the world. There's still that hope. There's still that opportunity. One last place where it talks about Jesus coming to. And said in Luke 23 and 33, part of that verse says, and they were come to the place which is called Calvary. And there they crucified Him. You see, Jesus fulfilled His mission all the way to the end. And He went to the cross. He came to the cross. And He allowed them to nail Him to that cross. He said, you know, I lay down My life. He said, no man takes it from Me. He freely gave His life upon the cross for you and me. He came. And you know, He's coming again, as Brother Frankie sang tonight. He's coming again. But you know, there are times in our life when over and over in our life, as a Christian, that Jesus comes to us. Amen. And I'm so glad He does. Amen. I'm so glad that He's been there many times to come to us when things are going wrong in our life. Just remember, He came once. He's coming again. But there's so many times through the Spirit and through His presence that He comes to each and every one of us. And when things go wrong in your life, and when you're faced with problems and difficulties, sister, would you come? And things are hard and troubles seem to overwhelm you, just remember that the one that came said, these are some reasons that I've come. Get into the Bible and look it out and see why He's come. You know, the Bible said there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you know, it's good to have a friend like that. So that when things are going wrong, you can depend that friend will come. Would you stand with me tonight? Maybe in the middle of the night. Maybe you're faced with something tonight that is difficult. And you're faced with problems tonight that you don't know how to handle. I believe we can kneel and we can invite Jesus. We ought to invite Him into our troubled lives. We ought to invite Him to say, Lord, I need You to come and help me through something I'm going through. Maybe you're faced with a temptation tonight and you're about to give in. Turn it over to Jesus and say, Lord, I need You to be here. maybe you're having a family problem tonight, or a problem on your job, or whatever it is. Why don't you let Jesus be a part of it? Why don't we allow Him to come in and say, Lord, would you please come into this situation? And watch what happens. God can do anything tonight. Would you come? Let's gather around this altar tonight. Bring your needs to the Lord tonight. And let Jesus touch you. Let Jesus be a part of your life. Let Him be a part of what you're going through tonight.